This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Chicago, what do you say? It's the CHGO Cubs postgame show podcast presented by PointsBet. Use the promo code CHGO when you sign up to get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. Luke Stuckmeyer, Cody Delmendo, and later Ryan Herrera from Wrigley Field. Cubs win. Take another series at home.
4-2 homestand.
Wow, huh?
Yeah. The march to 63, Stucky. The march to 63.
What is it, like 18 more to go or something like that?
They got 45 wins.
I think that was 45.
Yeah.
They're getting
18,
there.
Take 18 sounds about right.
Take two out of three. Jack R joins the chat right out of the gate. Nico Horner, Nick G, right out of the gate. Nico Horner. Everybody wants to talk. Nico Horner,
man.
I mean, if I had to pick one building block off this roster to move forward with, it would be Nico Horner.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I mean,
right?
I heard you guys talking about the quote, or was it Bruce Levine yesterday? You guys were talking about him yesterday's show.
Yeah, just talking about how many guys will be part of the next great Cubs team.
Right.
You'd have to put Nico as part of that mix.
Absolutely. And the way that I look at it is, like, when you say the next great Cubs team, that's me saying – that's like saying, like, World Series contender.
I agree.
That doesn't –
or like, at least NL pennant.
I could, his one or two, I get that, perhaps. Everyone knows I am the optimistic one of this bunch here. I wouldn't say more than five, but there's a few guys on here that perhaps they could be part of that World Series contending team. But I do like a lot of guys on here that could be part of next year's contending team for sure. To be in the race for a division, wild card spot, whatever. But Nico Horner, definitely number one on that list.
Well, we had at the beginning of the season, even as the before the, you know, baseball had started back up, we were talking about, you know, what jersey do you go out and buy? You're not going to go out and buy Contreras because we thought Contreras would be traded. You're not going to go buy a Happ because you thought Happ would probably be traded. Nico Horner's the jersey to buy.
Oh, for sure.
If you're going to buy a Cubs jersey right now, it's Nico Horner.
Yeah, it's Nico Horner or, I know Seiya's. I see a lot of Seiya Suzuki's out there. Justin Steele, he's emerging as a guy that it's not a bad idea to get that uni as well. But Nico Horner, your shortstop, he's got the look. He's got the vibe. Definitely. I'm surprised I haven't seen more Nico Horner unis out at Wrigley this year. But, yeah.
Sean's just bringing the vibe down on the chat. I mean, come on, they won. Nico's great, but they better get moving on building a competitive team because he only has 3 years of arbitration left after this year, and they seem allergic to re-signing guys. Way to kill the buzz.
Well, they kill the buzz, man. You know, I get it.
He's not wrong. But
yeah, he's not wrong. Like, a big offseason ahead. You know, I tweeted last night from the ballpark, and you replied to it like, someone splashed water on Cody or whatever. Literally.
The little spray bottle.
Yeah, a little spray bottle. All I was saying is that there were 37,000 last night at Wrigley Field, and the vibes were freaking insane during that comeback for two teams that are at the bottom of the league. Fan base deserves a winner, Stucky. We deserve a winner, and we deserve to at least be competitive and in the division race year in and year out. If we're going to shell out all this money to go watch this baseball team at Wrigley Field every year, deserve a winner year in and year out. I'm sorry.
The vibes were not there at the end of the night.
They were not there at the end of the night, no.
What about
– But that was last night. Today we won.
What about Nicky eight balls, Nicky two hits?
Nicky runs batted in.
Nicky runs batted in. Anybody feeling? Yeah, Jack R says Nick Madrigal rakes. Anybody feeling better about Nick Madrigal after the last week?
I'm still not. I think what I said the other day, like, I keep going over the line, like, I'm in, I'm out. Yeah. I still need to see more. I think I can give you a definitive answer on if I'm in on Nick Madrigal at the end of the year. Like, I will say this, he's been giving better at bats. He's been taking the ball the other way a lot. He's getting the ball up, hitting line drives. Because like, we've talked about before, the guy doesn't walk a lot. He's not versatile defensively. So his value really will come from the amount of hits he gets. Two hits today. And the one that drove in a run, yep, right up the middle. The other one that was a double, he hit down the right field line. So, you know, all I can say is that it's a good sign and we need more. We need more. We need to see more. We got to see if Nick Madrigal is a guy that is at least something for next year, because the first 4 months of his Cubs career has been awful. So, the broadcast and everyone on there keeps saying that, you know, this is like the first time it seems like Madrigal is finally healthy. Perhaps. I don't really use that as an excuse, though, because, like, came into spring training and they treat him like he was healthy. Is that on the Cubs? Is that on him for maybe hiding some
fault?
Stuff?
Right, whose fault?
I know he had some stuff in the – obviously had two injuries in the middle of the season, had to hit the IL for a little bit, whatever. But at one point, he was – in my opinion, he was healthy. He just wasn't hitting at all. And, again, just nice to see some life out of him.
Even if it is against the Nationals, or even if it is against the Marlins, who have had, actually the Marlins have some decent pitchers, but the Nationals aren't the finest competition in the major leagues. Actually, the worst record still, I believe, in the majors. But it's better than the alternative, which is, you know, striking out and doing nothing.
Right.
So, yeah, this is a positive.
We just need more. Like, I don't blame people if they're still not in on him, and I don't blame you if you're not in on him yet.
I'm not
it's fair to say, though, that he has been better since coming off the IL.
I'm not in on him, but like you, I'm not out.
Right.
I'm not one of the people that says, no, there's no shot he's any good, and what a waste of adding that player to that trade. Like, no, I'm not in on that. Like, I still think we're on the fine line, half in, half out, and
– yeah.
Hopefully there's a nice two-month stretch here that he can go into spring training, feel good about it, and then make a Nico-type jump next year. Like, Nico has shown the way for some of these young guys. You don't have to necessarily do it all when you get up. Even if you come up too early like Nico did, like, sometimes it takes a while, but then start to make steady progress. And sometimes it's that one-off season that really clicks. And so
absolutely,
maybe that's it for Madrigal.
Just theoretically speaking, you know, if Madrigal plays like he has since he came off the IL the rest of the year, you go into next year with some optimism with maybe, but again, that shouldn't stop the Cubs from going and get a guy like a Bogarts or a Correa or a Turner or whatever. But Madrigal, this honestly would be like the first offseason for him where he's not, at least in 2 years, where he can go in the offseason and actually train to get better rather than rehab. So maybe, like, we've seen other players that, you know, I think Nico's a good example. He went in the offseason last year or this past year healthy, and we've seen him really come on the scene this year. So, again, I don't know about Madrigal. All I'm saying is that if he does play at least this well the rest of the year, hopefully going the offseason, he can really work on some of the things that people criticize him for. And maybe he comes back and is not necessarily a complete different player next year, but just better than what we as Cubs and even White Sox fans saw. Because he's still young, and he was drafted high for a reason. There has to be more within his skill set. There just has to be.
But clearly it's the offensive side of what they're looking at. Like, I don't know that he's going to be a gold glove guy, but guys can also – you know, slowly improve
right
defensively. And, you know, I think, I don't know who said it here. Somebody was saying, I hear Jack R says, I see people saying Nico's never going to be the best player on a great team. He says, why not? I agree. Like, don't put limits on it. Like, I would say if you're talking about a World Series contender, maybe not, but what if Nico takes the same jump next year?
Sure, yeah.
What if he adds 10 home runs to what he's doing now? Defensively, he's gold glove material.
Right.
And his bat has been so much better. What if he adds power to that in the offseason?
Yeah. There's, like, what, he's 25? There's no way that everyone says the prime of your career is, you know, anywhere between 27 to 32, right?
Right.
Like, they're...
He could still be...
There's still a lot of improvement that Nico Hoerner can take to really reach, you know, the top-tier status shortstop in all of baseball. You know, this year he has played as well as Tim Anderson has, and now Anderson's on the IL. Nico Hoerner probably will have better numbers than him by the end of the year if he keeps playing like he is. Like, that's...
Probably have a better season, yes.
Yeah, that's not me saying that he's better than Tim Anderson, but that's me saying that he...
He was better than him this season so
far.
Yeah,
he's being better than him this season. And like I said months ago, I said they're very similar type players. Contact, you know, contact hitter, can put the ball all over the diamond, and Nico Hoerner just brings the defense a little bit more than him. And so I think that there's potential for him to, you know, be one of the top shortstops in baseball if he, you know, just keeps growing, man. He's doing it.
And, you know, it's kind of crazy to think about how 2020 will influence major league careers. You know, Nico might have had this jump even sooner had 2020 been in real season. You know, and you wonder about guys like Madrigal and the guys that are up in the minors that didn't even have a season in 2020. Like, what does that do for young guys? It's like you have to wipe out an entire age group. Like, you just take out a year, yet they're still getting older, but they didn't play baseball. So it's kind of a weird time, obviously, in society. It's also a weird time in baseball, especially for developing young players. Ian Happ added a nice insurance run. That's another guy we're talking about. You know, I don't want to limit how much better Ian Happ can get. Obviously, he's taken a big jump. And I don't know what the future holds. You know, you hear Jed Hoyer talk about likely the corner outfield spots being Seiya and Happ next year.
Yeah.
He didn't say they were the outfield spots in the corner. He said likely. So, and then you see what happens with the contract.
Right.
So, but again, progress. Nonetheless, it's been progress. And you have to take your hat off to each of those guys because they have certainly taken a big step in their major league careers.
Yeah, no, absolutely. There's a lot to like for Nico, man. And I am excited to watch it all kind of – just watch him continue to develop and continue to really blossom into, you know, the type of player that I know I believed that he could be last year. It's just injuries really derailed him. I thought last year, you know, he had a lot of, you know – the injury bug kind of got him, and that's why I was so upset earlier this year when he got hurt because of a stupid umpire running into him. Like, I'm just happy he's been able to come back, not only stay healthy, but continue to play well. So he's proven that he's not injury-prone like a lot of people thought he was. I think that's the biggest thing for me for Nico this year is that he's been able to stay healthy.
That's and a big deal to be able to play as much as he has.
What's Herb say? The best ability is availability.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, you know, again, we're seeing it from him, and that he's probably been the biggest bright spot for this team this year.
Unquestionably. And, you know, we've talked about Keegan Thompson and Justin Steele. Steele's become one of them too.
Yeah.
I don't know that Steele and Thompson, their development is as big of a jump as what Nico Hoerner has taken, but it's been really good. It's been impressive because we didn't know what to make of either of those guys after the end of last season. And Steele, again, another quality start, 6 innings, you know, 9 strikeouts. Was it perfect? No. But enough to call him the Man of Steel. Joey's been getting the graphics up. If you're watching on YouTube, or if you're just hearing the podcast later, check out the YouTube video or YouTube channel and go back and play it. It's got some pretty sick graphics, the Man of Steel.
Yeah, shout out to Joey.
Yeah, stay tuned for a few more. He made like 3 or 4 of them.
Yeah.
So we can
cranking them out today.
Yeah, so there's a few more graphics that we'll have to get through every time the Cubs win a game, if, when.
Yeah.
Woey, they say.
Yeah, woey, as Jack says, with a W instead of Joey.
That's right.
We can't show him today. He's not a producer. Shout out to Sarah, though.
Maybe she'll show herself.
Said $3.99.
$3.99 super chat. She'll show herself.
Yeah, it takes a super chat. Sean says, you definitely have three guys you can win with next season. Nico, Hap, Suzuki. Should be four with Wilson, but you know, add potential. Morel, Reyes, Velasquez, your lineup isn't far off. Well, and don't forget, there's free agency.
Right, right.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, I get what he's saying, especially with the Wilson thing. Like, there's just so many questions going into this year, or going into next year right now as we speak on August 10th. Like, still the rest of the season to go, and then the postseason. And then, really, like, the clock will be ticking for Jed Hoyer in terms of, you know, really figuring out how to put a winner out there next year. And that's pressure, but, hey, that's part of the business, man. So,
yeah, I mean, I like what I've seen from Steele. I love that he's a left-hander. I love that the strikeouts are there. I love that he does it without – throwing 98, you know?
Yeah.
It's deception. He's left-handed. Both he and Thompson have a little bit of a bulldog mentality, right? Like, I don't know how else to describe it. Like, they got a little chip on their shoulder when
absolutely.
They pitch. And I like that about both of them, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes pitchers go and just, like, pick the corners and are playing around out there. Those two guys kind of like to throw it at you, and especially now Steele. With the fastball early, he's been like, go ahead, see what you can do with it. You know, and I like that.
Obviously I've had a lot of great things to say about Keegan Thompson this year. But Justin Steele, I mean, since May 31st, has honestly been really good. And the thing about Steele to me that outweighs Thompson is he's racking up more strikeouts of late especially.
Mm-hmm.
And –
well, last game was 10. He went 4 2/3. Today was 9.
And he went
a little bit longer.
And he went 6, right? But you are right when it comes to having, like, that chip on his shoulder. You can feel it when he walks off the mound after getting a big out or something like that. Like, this guy is out here competing and trying to, you know, prove that, hey, I belong here. I belong in this rotation. And I want to be part of what's next. So, you know, I really admire that about someone like him, who honestly spent a lot of time in the Cubs farm system as well. I think he was drafted in 2015. Like, it's not like he just zoomed up here.
No.
Like, it took a lot of time and work for him to get to this level. He comes up last year, starts in the bullpen. We saw him, you know, we really saw him really dominate there, right? Throws a lot harder when he comes out of the pen. But, you know, ever since they made him a starter, he's just only gotten better as – like, every star goes on. Yeah, he's had some hiccups. Yeah, he's had some outings where he's given up a lot of runs, or an outing like last one where he gets 10 strikeouts but only goes 4 2/3. It's all part of the process, so I'm really excited to see what he does the rest of this season and then going into next year. I think he's really solidified himself as, you know, somewhere from 3 to 5 in that rotation.
Well, we didn't know if either guy was going to be a piece of the rotation. We had the arguments about starter versus reliever. If they were successful, you know, where's the more value? I mean, they're both starters.
Yeah.
They are both starters, and I think they've shown you that. The line in this game, 6 innings, 9 strikeouts, 8 hits, 2 earned runs, no walks. No walks is impressive. And honestly, 2 earned runs, Ortega's misplayed ball in center field, you can take one of those off the board.
Yeah.
I mean, realistically, you can take one of those off the board.
Ortega made up for it with that sack fly.
He did.
I'll give him credit for that.
I was thinking that even before this game, and I don't know if I have the answer. I'm curious what people in the chat think. Are you saying if you had to rank Steele and Thompson, that for right now you'd put Steele ahead of Thompson? Because I'm not sure. I don't know. Like, I kind of go back and forth. I like both of them.
Yeah, I think I like them.
I've said I put them both ahead of Stroman, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. Yeah,
though he's way more experienced and been, you know,
a lot done more it. Success.
Yeah, I mean, his sample size is way greater, but right. I feel better going into a game when one of these two guys is pitching. Not that I don't feel good about Stroman, I just
his season's been up and down.
His season's been a little more
it's
up and down.
Been the classic first year free agent coming to Chicago type year. Yeah, I mean,
if you have to pick one guy to throw an important game this season, like, if the Cubs were in an actual pennant race, who would you want to pitch that big game?
Between him or Thompson?
Steele, Thompson, Stroman, Hendricks if he was healthy?
Well, it's hard not to take Hendricks if he's healthy.
Right, I would take Hendricks if he's healthy, right? Just because, like, of past history. But Jack's saying Stroman, Steele, Keegan. So he's going Steele over Keegan for right now. I think it's very close, first of all.
Yeah. I guess Stroh had a little bit of an off night last night, but before last night, he had been, ever since the All-Star break, he had been pretty good. Had a really nice outing in Philadelphia, had a good outing in St. Louis last week. Wasn't his fault they lost.
No. You know? I don't think there's a lot of separation between the three guys right now this season.
Yeah. Corey also says, I think Steele over Keegan right now, but I feel guilty saying
right?
that.
Yes.
Would still give the ball to Stroh of the three. I think, yeah, huh. In a big game, yeah, I'd probably take Stroh just because those guys are still young, and Stroh's got experience, and he's pitched in big games too. But, yeah, I mean, if we're just talking about Cubs need to win a game, and we're talking about the experience of only what we've seen in 2022, I personally would probably take Thompson just because he has shown it all season. Like, honestly, Steele struggled in April, or at least – April and May, he was inconsistent. I feel like Thompson has been just, like, incredible for what we expected from him this year, the entire year. I know half the season, or at least the first two and a half months, he was out of the bullpen.
Yeah.
But, man, like, he has, you know, been inserted into the rotation and has really opened our eyes. Because remember, me and you were like, I think it's better in the bullpen. And then he
They forced us into it.
They snapped the 10-game losing streak with that start against the Braves, and he's just kind of been rolling since. Yeah, he's had some hiccups as well, but, like, every starter has a bad start. I mean, not everyone is Jacob DeGrom, right? So it's
– Look at the chat. It's something. It's like every other person is saying somebody else. Yeah. Somebody will say Keegan, and then somebody like, no, for me it's Steele. And then somebody will say, you know
– It's just fun – it's fun to know that the Cubs have guys like this because it's been so long before this year – where they really had any kind of homegrown starting pitching that we could debate about as being, you know, part of their rotation. You know, outside – I mean, if you want to consider Kyle Hendricks part of, like, a homegrown guy, even though they traded for him, I mean,
right.
Fine. But, you know, these guys, both drafted by the Cubs, both, you know, spent some time in the minors and, you know, had to go through some things, and they've really developed – to this point, very nicely. And I'm really, like I said, in a season like this, they are really making this a little bit easier for us. You know what I mean?
I mean, they along with Nico, they have been three very big bright spots. And I don't know how many you have for the season to be successful. You know, we're talking about the race to 63. I just don't know how many wins, individual player development wins you have for it to be something that the Cubs can say, all right, 2022 was a good year for us because of this. And it was the other stuff was bad, but it wasn't bad enough to drag down the positive things that rose to the top. Well, and we'll only know that. We won't know that really at the end of the season, whatever that number is, whether it's five guys, four guys, if Seiya had two great months. I don't think we'll really know that for another year or two. But if Thompson and Steele use this as a baseline and then take another jump, and if Nico goes from, you know, a really, really good shortstop to now perennial all-star shortstop and, you know, top-tier player in Major League Baseball for a long period of time, then you will look back to 2022 and say, well, the other stuff was all minutia. It was all garbage, right? Because you had three major building blocks for the future developing on that team while you were still developing the farm system. So I know we're all down on 2022, and we joke about the road to 63 and they could lose 100 games, which it doesn't look super likely that they're going to lose that many, but it's possible. Trade deadline didn't go the way everybody expected the trade deadline to go, but there is still a possibility because of those three guys that you will look back at 2022 and say, well, now, wait a minute. That was the beginning of the ascension of the next great Cubs team.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way to tell it right now, but I'm just saying that they've given you at least some pause to say that's possible. And absolutely. So that part of it is positive right now.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I'm, you know,
after the deadline, you know, like I said, you know, we're looking for guys to find out what's part of the next year's team. And there's, you know, there's more players on this team that bring, you know, some optimism to it than, you know, the casual fan or anyone on the outside really realizes. So I don't blame why, like, one thing that we haven't really talked about, I don't blame people for being mad every single day that Rafael Ortega is leading off.
No, that was my next
playing
thought.
Center field, right? Yeah. Like, that We've was what the chat was all about that at the beginning of the show. Uh-huh. Like, I don't blame people. I'm with you.
I just didn't want to go negative right out
right,
of the gate.
Right. But, like, that's why I get it, why people are like, why are we playing this guy whenever all we have left the rest of the season is to look forward to seeing, you know, or, you know, getting a read on some of these guys. I mean, if Ortega wasn't on this team, then Narciso Crook would probably be on this roster. I'm still surprised that he has not been recalled. Like, I you know, if you're not going to play Velasquez every day because of him, then fine. But, like, you gotta get Velasquez in there as much as possible, whether it's in the DH or corner outfield, whatever, or in center. I don't understand why Ortega is leading off and playing every single day. And that's not me being, you know, saying that Ortega sucks. It's just we're at a point where is Ortega part of, like, is he part of anything? Oh, I don't even know if he will be on next year's team. Nope. Like, he's a nice piece for a team that is actually winning right now. He honestly is, and that's why I'm so, like, again, that's what bothers me the most about the deadline is that they didn't move him. They could have moved him for anything. I didn't care what they got for him, because at the end
especially
of the day,
especially if he's going to be DFA'd. I don't know if he is or not, but I'm just saying, like,
well, again, if they had moved him and got something, at least you can say, oh, well, we picked up this guy off waivers or whatever, and we ended up getting this for him. Who knows what that will be, but, like, at least you can say that was a positive experience for the organization. Now you're in a situation where your 31-year-old center fielder that's, you know, on a bad team is blocking other guys. And, again, I feel bad for being, you know, negative towards him, because he's had some nice moments. He's had some good games. At one point, he literally was having a better season than Christian Yelich. But, yeah, he's struggled since, you know, mid-July, and he's, you know, obviously we saw the defense today in center field that led to the national score and a run. I don't even think he's that bad of a defensive outfielder either. It's just, like, he is who he is. We know what he is, and
he's
there's just no way.
Something. Cody, he's hitting 230-something. He's not a great base runner.
Right.
He's the key number or stat is 31.
Right.
He's 31 years old.
Right.
Yeah, I was all for his playing time early in the season, the first 2 months, because for me, that was about show me something, not for the future. Show me something so that you're a trade chip.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that time has passed. He's 31 years old. And I've seen, I think it was Jack said, you know, like, the time is over. Like, I don't care if you want to DFA him or just send him down to the minors or whatever you want to do. This is about development now this season. It's not about winning games. It's not about, well, the race to 63, but
it
is about finding out about these young guys. I do want to see Jackson Frazier get another taste of the major leagues. I don't know what they saw in him. It was not enough when they DFA'd him the first time around, and then he came back to the team. Would I rather have him getting an occasional start right now? Crook, yes. Velasquez, yes. But I'd rather have Frazier on the roster than Ortega.
Absolutely.
I'd rather have Crook on the roster. Like, it's time to move on from that. I just don't – and I don't understand why he's leading off every game.
Yeah. No, I absolutely agree. And the leading off part really is the thing that makes me more upset. And I get it. You know, the walk rate is there. Like, he works really good at bats. I will give him that. He does do that more often than not. I mean, today he got the sack fly in a big moment.
Yeah, he made up for it.
He made up for the error. That's fine. But
he didn't make up for being 31 and taking somebody's roster spot and taking somebody's spot in the lineup.
You
just
gotta get some of these younger guys in there on a more consistent basis. I mean, even Madrigal isn't even getting every day at bats. And it's like you traded a major bullpen relief arm to the other team on the other side of town, and you're not playing the one guy who's healthy from that every day, and he's actually hitting?
I never thought I'd be sitting here clamoring for more playing time for Nick Madrigal, but I am. And, like, again, that goes back to what the thing, like, what happened at the trade deadline. It's not even about Happer Contreras. It is about the fact that they just didn't get rid of some of these other dudes. Like,
slowly
Ortega
did we
and all
start
them.
To see some of them, like.
Yeah. It just feels like a waste because, yeah, they're going to DFA him, but you know how this team has been operating this year. It's taken them forever. It took them forever to finally say they're not going to play Jason Hayward. I mean, how much longer am I going to have to wait until this team finally, like cuts the cord on a guy like Ortega? Wisdom is the only one that I'm like, this guy should play every day. Really. Of that group, he is the only one because he is at least proven to be a valuable role player on a baseball team. He really has.
And next in line for me would be Higgins.
Yeah.
He's a little bit older, but at least he plays a position that you probably figure you're going to need somebody at next year.
Absolutely.
Or at least some depth at that position. So, I don't know, Wolf thinks he's going to be gone soon, Ortega. He's probably become our punching bag because the other punching bags have been moved on, but... See Lil Yumper with the super chat. Cody is a closet Madrigal stan. Confirmed.
I wouldn't say I'm a closet. I mean, if you've been listening to the show since we started, I mean, I was all about, like, I think I picked him to win comeback player of the year or something like that in our preseason rankings or some shit like
that. We're
going to
have some regretful picks.
Yeah. I would say that at the beginning of the year, I was very optimistic about Madrigal. And the reason being was that so many people were out on him the moment that trade was made, and, you know, I guess some of them can say, oh, I was right, or not me, but, like, they were right if they were out on him. But, like, again, like we already talked about, there's still more time for him to change everyone's mind. But again, like, the point is, he's not even getting every day at-bats right now, and he should be considering how he's swinging the bat, and because – again, big part of a major trade, and you got to play the guys that are young and, you know, have some sort of upside, and he has upside. But because of how, like, logjam this roster is right now, with even not even just guys in Iowa, but just guys on this actual roster right now, it's like, where do you get at bats? I mean, thank God Zach McKinstry's starting to hit. 3 hits last night, yeah, had a hit,
yep,
today.
Yep.
I mean, but at least he can play all around the field like Morel. But, like, not even playing Morel today doesn't make sense. Like, in Velasquez, I'm going to keep going in a circle, Luke. I'm going to keep going in a circle.
I know.
You got to play him every day. Every day, man. You know, and if that means you got to sit Willie or Hap one of those days, that's fine. At least we know what those guys are. You know what I mean? Like,
I don't disagree with it. You know, that's why I say, like, it's odd that you have a roster crunch on a team that's going to lose this many games. But you're going to need to know information about a lot of these guys now. And so it's even when you say Wisdom, well, we know what Wisdom is. I'm not saying there's not value there, but
okay, that's fair.
If he plays first base, great. Nobody else can play first base really over there.
Right, except for Higgins.
Except for Higgins. But that's what I would say, that they should trade off a little bit there. There are other guys you could put at third base right now and you need to find out about. And
like the way that I look at it is, like, if you're gonna play Wisdom at first every day, then why is Christopher Morel not at third base every day?
I just want to see him somewhere, like I said,
yeah,
or in center field instead of Ortega.
Yeah. Well, again, the reason, like, I say Morel at third, then you can play Velasquez in center instead of Ortega.
Right.
You know what I mean? So,
well, it's David Ross's biggest challenge, trying to figure out where he's gonna play these guys, and the one thing that would help them would be eliminating some of the guys that don't need to be on the roster.
Right.
So we'll see if that happens.
You know, at least they optioned Schwindel the other day.
They did. Yeah. And the list is getting better.
Yeah.
The list is getting better. We'll get to Rowan Wick in a second, but let's talk about points bet and what kind of bets you've made today. If you have, what are you making tonight?
Got to hit.
What's your win streak?
Yeah, I've got to hit parlay. When we get, I'm going to share it later in the show. But so stay tuned for that. Also, if you can't watch the rest of the entire show, tune in to CHGO Bets Daily, where I'll then be repeating it. Anyway, points bet. Like I say, every show, my favorite app. I wake up every day, look at the lines, all that good stuff. I was doing it this morning. And I love it so much, guys. And the main reason is because I like to gamble on sports, but also because it's the best way to support CHGO. And when you download that points bet app and use code CHGO when you sign up, if you do that right now, you get 2 risk-free bets up to $2,000.
But that's not it. If you make a $50 or more first-time deposit, you receive a free CHGO membership, which unlocks all of our web content. And you even get a free shirt like the ones that me and Luke are wearing right now. We just look so – like, look at Stucky. He is vibing in this Skyline shirt right now. It's one of the best shirts on the CHGO.
I think it's probably our best shirt.
It is. It's definitely better than the Dylan Cease one that's for the White Sox. It definitely does – like, this definitely doesn't make me cry like that shirt does. It's a great shirt to wear anytime. So $2,000 in free bets, a free CHGO membership, and a free t-shirt from CHGO Locker, all for making a $50 or more first time deposit at PointsBet. If you have any questions, you can email pointsbet@allchgo.com and we'll help you out. Your home for live in play betting just got even better. See an edge in the game you're watching. Is your favorite team primed for a comeback? Anyone live bet the Cubs today? Let us know in the chat. I'd love to know. Don't just watch the game. Bet along with it live. More live betting, more live markets, and faster live cash outs. Follow along with your bets the moment they hit and stay in the live action all game long. Download the PointsBet app right now and use promo code CHGO. So what are you waiting for? It's time to elevate your live betting game. Once the game starts, don't just bet. Live your bet life with PointsBet. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER for crisis counseling and referral services.
Oh, Chicago sports fans, your home for the best Chicago sports coverage is partnering with a leader in Chicago sports merchandise and collectibles. CHGO has teamed up with FOCO to secure your access to the best collectibles and gear around, whether it's Bears, Cubs, White Sox, Blackhawks, Bulls. FOCO has something for you, your kid, a friend, or a loved one. Looking to get some new gear, collectibles, or accessories? FOCO has officially licensed gear for men, women, kids, and everything from bobbleheads to swimsuits to Crocs. That's right, I said Crocs. FOCO has you covered with the best Chicago sports merchandise. For your favorite team, head over to FOCO.com. Click that link below in the YouTube description. For all non-presale items, use the promo code CHGO for 10% off. And I repeat, Crocs. Because I have heard as kids are starting to head back to school that they all want to wear Crocs again. I asked, are Crocs making a comeback? And I talked to my sister. My nephew is going on to college. He was in high school last year, obviously, in Milwaukee. And she said that when they went to visit the school at one point, they saw that 3/4 of the kids there were wearing Crocs. That's how popular they were. And now back to school, the kids all want Crocs.
Wow.
Nobody wears jeans anymore.
Ain't gonna be me.
Everybody wears sweats, joggers, and Crocs.
I guess everyone wants to be comfortable, I guess. That's the only thing I've heard about Crocs that, like,
I've heard they're crazy comfortable. I know they're not a great look.
They you're never going to see me in Crocs, man.
Sarah's shaking her head like she owns a pair of Crocs.
Well, no, I have a whole opinion about this because my brother, he works at Northwestern, so he's on his feet 27 hours a day, 24/7. Right. He wears Crocs every single day, and he's 31, and he's been doing it literally since he graduated college.
Yep.
And so I have this long-term experience of seeing a person wear Crocs, and everybody gives him crap for it, but I'm telling you, he says it's just the best thing ever. I think they're comfortable. I personally wouldn't wear them, but that's because I just don't like the look, but I know the quality of the shoe, and it's probably up there with some of the best made quality shoe out there.
It's just rubber or foam, but I do know, like, in the medical industry, you will see people wearing Crocs a lot that are on their feet.
They'll say
that's a comfortable thing to do. Corey Friedman saying Stucky Nation is vibing. Watch this. You know, I was going to say, we probably have, like, an AG1, but look, watch this flexibility, guys.
Yeah, Stucky wore shorts today. Huh?
How many times can you see a 50-year-old do that? That is AG1 at its finest right there. I could meditate right now if I wanted to.
Oh, man.
Huh?
Yeah.
Look at that flexibility.
I got to say, the legs aren't as wide as I expected them to be.
Oh, they're milky white. This is like the underbelly of a trout right here. You flip a trout over onto its belly, and it's just the white bottom.
It's just the studio lights. Yeah. It's just the lights around
here. No, it's not. It actually probably looks tanner than it actually might be.
Perhaps.
It kind of does look a little
pretty
tanner.
White. It's pretty white. Look at the insides of my arms. The reflection is almost brighter than my white hat.
You got to get out.
I know too many people that have had skin cancer. I'm not into it anymore. I used to be a sun guy. I'd be out there all the time.
SPF 100.
That said, I feel like my thighs are like the size of like Stucky, like both of Stucky's calves together.
Huh? Look at those meat sticks. Chicken legs.
I'm not saying you don't do leg day. I'm just saying that.
Leg day? Cody, I haven't worked out in like 3 years. Let's be honest. Like, come on. Like,
okay,
COVID
man.
Hit, and that was the end of the workout. That was the end of it. It was over. It was like, all right, let's just enjoy life.
Let's enjoy what's the rest of existence.
Whatever
we
got left, let's just enjoy it. Like going back to the gym. No, leg days never really happened for me much.
Yeah.
So anyways, Crocs, you can get them. Foco, they've got them. And apparently they are super popular right now.
We got 61 people watching right now, but only 16 likes on YouTube. At least that's what my computer is telling me. So I am once again asking everyone to like the video on YouTube so other Cubs fans who may not watch the show, watch the show.
I mean, Michael's saying Crocs and flip-flops, a bad look on a man. What about the Moses sandals?
I don't.
Peck still here?
I don't mind slides.
Because those are different than sandals. Sandals.
I wear the Nike slides around my apartment a lot, or like if I go on a walk around my neighborhood.
Now, I don't know what that means, slides. That's like a flip-flop, just the strap over the top as opposed to the finger.
It's just like the thing over the top, but it's not even like a... It's not like a Velcro strap or anything.
Right,
it's just the thing.
Yeah,
you just slide your foot in.
Yeah, I got a pair of those.
It's just a good, like, athletic shoe.
Yeah, should I not be wearing those with socks? Because I know the old man way to do it is to wear socks with those.
No, you always wear socks with it.
Socks with the flops?
Yeah.
I have. It's not, like, I understand some people don't like that, but I'm indifferent about it.
Jack says, how many people will be in this chat when the Cubs are good? Well, we hope a lot.
I hope at least, you know, here's a optimistic look. When the Cubs are good again, I hope we average at least 200 people in the live chat every show.
When the Cubs are good, I'll start doing the leg day again. Throw a leg day in.
You heard him, Jed. Get on the phone, man.
At my age, really, what I should start doing is some yoga. Flexibility. It's all, but look at you just
do
saw
some
me,
Pilates
you
or
just
something?
Saw me throw into like a yoga pose and people didn't think that was coming. The CHGO
David Elliott
podcast.
CHGO footwear podcast. It went from ice cream podcast to footwear podcast. I mean, we just vibe on CHGO Cubs, man. We, you know.
Yeah, that's right, David. We gotta branch out every once in a while. We got like Joel says, we gotta talk about the Jesus sandals, the Moses Walkers, which are I hear him coming now. Ryan Herrera is getting ready to jump in on this. He's going to join here for the second segment. Before we get to him, you know what? Bring Ryan in. We'll see what he thinks of this video, too. There he is, Mr. Herrera, joining from Wrigley Field.
Hello.
Were you able to see me throw into a meditation pose here?
No, I heard the slides versus sandals versus Crocs talk or whatever. Yeah. Like towards the end of it. That's what I heard.
Well, at one point, I jumped up into the chair.
It's just incredible that Stucky's here in shorts today, Ryan.
Yeah, we were outside.
Yeah, I haven't seen that yet.
Well, we were doing some outside stuff. I'm not a shorts guy when you're in studio with lights. That's not the path I was set on. But when it's hot outside and you're outside or you're at a golf course, then shorts are the way I go. It was too. So anyways, did everybody see the Rodolfo Castro video, I believe, from last night?
Yes.
Slides head first from the Pirates into third base and out pops his iPhone out of his back pocket as he's going into third. If you haven't seen it, you can look it up on Twitter anywhere. Google it. It's everywhere. It'll be on our YouTube channel.
Castro
for those
slides into third. His phone comes out of his pocket. Now that's
slides right out, bounces off of third base.
And there's Adam Hamrick. Dude, your phone is down there. Hey, right
I
there.
Love how the umpire double looks at it. The umpire looks, can't believe it, looks back up at him, and then points like, hey, dumbass, your phone is sitting there in the dirt by third base. He apologized after the game, said it was a complete mistake, and obviously nobody'd have their phone.
Yeah.
My question is, the Cubs, the Pirates, and the Reds all entered Wednesday with 44 wins. Are you telling me the Pirates are this bad and they might be stealing signals by having cell phones in the back pocket and sending text messages? they're buzzing his back pocket. What's the other explanation for having an iPhone in your back pocket? I went probably, through BP and I forgot it.
Maybe he's in the dugout swiping right on whatever girl. Maybe he's just vibing the dugout when he shouldn't be. I mean, that's why I don't play baseball or why I stopped playing baseball. I haven't got the attention span. I gotta look at my phone. I'm like a classic millennial, Stucky. I mean, what else? I mean, that's the only thing I can come up with.
I just think it's so unprofessional because, like, if that happened to me when I was, like, 16 playing, you know, in travel soccer or whatever, like, my coach would have beat my ass for that.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
it was definitely, like, that's something that you probably would see in, like, high school or something like that.
Go ahead, Ryan.
I was going to say, the last time I played, like, any sort of, like, organized baseball was like a park district, not a beer league technically, because we're all under 18, but it was just had the same vibe. And it was just like, you know, that's when we would have like our phones in the outfield, like checking in between pitches and stuff like that. But Major League Baseball games is a weird story. I've never seen that before.
Jack Carr says hashtag millennials. Are you guys going to take that? The millennials, I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to say it. All I'll say is a baseball player with an iPhone in his back pocket during the game more unprofessional than me sitting in the yoga pose in shorts? Look at that flexibility.
That flexibility? Carter Hawkins in the chat says, I hope it's the actual Carter Hawkins, says Stucky's legs are blinding like an eclipse.
That's right.
So, I mean.
Look at how comfortable I am, though. I couldn't believe it when I saw it.
No. Jack R. I'm gonna push back on Jack R. He's not a millennial. Rodolfo Castro is too young, I think he's like 23, right?
So what is that?
He's not a millennial.
Is there something newer than a millennial?
Gen Z? Yeah.
Let's say I'm Gen Z.
Gen Z?
That's what I am, yeah. Because the cutoff's at like 23 or something, and I'm 22.
Depending where you look, like 1996 is the last year of being a millennial, and that's me. So me and Cody, right here, millennials.
Proud to be one. Just glad I'm not Gen Z. Generation. Sorry, Sarah.
What year were you born?
91.
Oh, I'm 2000. So,
yeah. 91, the year after I graduated high school. When I was a freshman at Valpo, Cody was born.
And the rest was history.
And the rest was history. That's right, Joel. I am showing off the meat cleavers.
He's showing it off, man.
And superior flexibility.
Do you have questions about the game?
Oh yeah, sorry. What were they saying? You know, we talked a little bit about Madrigal looking good, and did Steele feel like he had his good stuff, or was he a little bit off? What do you think?
No, I think him and Ross both kind of felt like he felt like pitches were working. I know Ross mentioned the breaking ball specifically. Felt like it was working. Maybe Steele kind of mentioned that that home run that he gave up, 2-1 count, I believe, and wanted to throw a four seamer for a strike, and then obviously, you know, got hit for a home run. But I think overall, both of them felt like Steele. That was a good outing for Steele. Obviously, the 9 strikeouts is big. No walks, like the 9 strikeouts, no walks, and then we've talked about him getting into, you know, longer into games. He got 6 innings. That was the balance we kind of talked about. I think it was on Friday was his last start. It's like, how can he keep fooling hit or striking these guys out, but make sure he's getting through those 6 innings on a consistent basis. Today he did it. I think they both kind of felt like that was one of Steele's better starts, even though he's been on a good run of starts here. Like, just what he was able to do today, keep the pitch count low enough to get through more innings. He's not walking guys, so he's not, he wasn't running the pitch out with walks, like stuff like that. Like, he's even the soft contact hits, like, I think three or four of them that he gave up were like not hard contact. Like, the first 2 hits he gave up was a grounder to third base that McKinstry couldn't beat, and then a bunt that he tried to do the phantom tag with the glove when the ball is in his left hand. Like, those were a couple of just not even fluky hits, but just like hits that were like, okay, like, it wasn't like these hitters got to him, they just put it in the right place. So overall, I think both of them agree this was a good, very good start from Justin. Again, want to be better every single time out, but this is surely not a bad start in any means. It was a good day from Justin on the mound.
What about Nick Madrigal? Did anybody talk to him after the game? Were there any comments from him? Because, you know, I think a little more optimism here in the chat today and from both of us as well. Like, you know, that's what you're starting to look for. That's what your hope you're getting when you trade for him is the player you saw today.
And I know Ryan was in Slack and was like, where's the Madrigal haters? Because I know he's a supporter of Nick Madrigal. He has been all season. I give him credit.
Yeah, and I think, again, it's like we did talk to Nick after the game, and he's kind of same thing. Like, he feels that he's in a good place, you know, about a week now, a little over a week since he came off the IL. I'm starting to get into the rhythm of being back in the game, but just being able to, be able to play, and two, be able to feel healthy while playing just hasn't been something that he's had for most of the year. And you saw him in that double down the line. I mean, that's kind of what you expect from Madrigal, is being able to slap those balls down the line and beat it out for a second. I think that's kind of what we've been wanting to see. Just that's how he's going to get those extra base hits, is just shooting them down the line, hitting gaps, stuff like that. And then being able to muscle that one up the middle pass. I don't remember. I think someone dove for it and it got past him into the outfield. But just being able to muscle that one up the middle, tie the game there, like that's what we've been kind of waiting to see from Nick Madrigal this season. I know he says he feels healthy. He feels good. He's getting in that rhythm. And so that's what these last 2 months are going to be, getting him consistent at bats, getting him consistent playing time, showing what he can do at the plate. Because again, when he was healthy in the past, he has been a really good hitter. He hasn't had that in the last about, you know, a little 13 months or so. So over these last 7 weeks, whatever it is, like that's what you need to see. Today was a good day for him. I mean, yesterday he had the first two walk game of his career. Like I think he's just starting to really feel good at the plate for the first time all year. And so I think you gotta kind of just hope that he's able to kind of keep this going for the rest of the season and give you something to maybe believe in for going into 23.
Well, Ryan, but why do you feel about slides versus Crocs? Come on, just give us the thought. Just give us a thought, yes or no?
Oh, no. I mean, definitely slides. I don't call them slides. I call them sandals just because that's just my preference. But no. It's sandals over Crocs, 7 days a week, twice on Sundays. Like, I will never wear a Croc in my life. But
you know what that shows? Ryan's not a young guy anymore. He's gotten old like I have because all the kids are wearing them. It's the rage going back to school. Crocs everywhere.
I don't get it.
You wouldn't be caught dead wearing a Croc in my high school. Well, not even one Croc.
That's right. It's all changed. You've gotten old and crusty just like me.
Exactly.
I was anti-Croc too. Ryan likes sandals, the graphic says. What else? What was discussed? David Ross or any of the players? What was another topic that was busy today after the game?
Sorry, say that again. I read someone's message, Ryan, you're in the wrong podcast. I don't know what that's supposed to mean.
Because you were saying, can we ask baseball questions? Wrong podcast. What else was talked about? Anything in the clubhouse after the game that we need to know about?
Field of Dreams tomorrow.
Yeah,
you ready? The hot topic. Yeah, I mean, no. I'm still figuring out travel plans and timing and stuff like that. But, you know, they're all excited to do that. It's actually funny because, like, I guess we're at the stage where, like, a lot of players like this age, it's not like the Field of Dreams came out when they were young and they're it's like one of their favorite movies. Like, a lot of guys are talking about, like, how they haven't really watched it in a while, watched it a couple times, which is kind of funny, but I think they all appreciate what the event is and what that movie means to people. And so they're all excited. I know David Ross said the other day, you know, a special event like that kind of helps you get out of like the monotony of a season, of a 162 game season. Just being able to go somewhere different, do something different, play in front of 8,000 fans in like a really more intimate setting than you would do at Wrigley Field in front of 30,000. So, they're all excited. I will say I've talked to a bunch of them and not one has said that they say have a catch.
No,
everyone is play catch. No one says have a catch. Just play catch. Apparently Kevin Costner's not going to be there this year.
No, not going to be there.
That would have been like, if I would have gotten to meet him, that would have been my first question. Is like, why did you say have a catch? Like, who came up with that? Why was there no pushback? Like, who let that stay in the movie?
Yeah, and he's a baseball guy. Like, he really does like baseball. So it's, I can't believe he must have found out that back in the old days, somebody used to say, want to have a catch.
Must
That's
have.
All I can think of. But I've never met anybody that says, hey, want to have a catch.
our friends over at Obvious Shirts, they tweeted 23 minutes ago, the Field of Dreams cannot be heaven because the Cubs already play their home games in heaven. Hashtag obvious facts.
Good point. Yeah, and there was a tweet today suggesting that Timothy Burke saying a man hears Fox is testing a reanimated Harry Carey hologram for tomorrow's Field of Dreams game. Someone who has seen the footage says it is, quote, unconvincing and, quote, possibly offensive. What the hell are they talking about?
How could it be offensive? Is it offensive in terms of it, like, not being or looking or sounding like Harry Carey, or?
Well, Harry's times were different. Harry used to say some kind of crazy stuff.
For sure.
How can a guy be from somewhere and lose the ball in the sun? I mean, that probably wouldn't fly so much anymore today.
Right.
So, like, right. I don't know. Is that what they mean, or is it just, like, some people found the Will Ferrell Saturday Night Live stuff offensive because it was like they made him seem. That was Lawrence doing his impression of Ryan Dempster doing an impression of Will Ferrell doing an impression of Harry Carey. But, you know, some people didn't like that SNL made fun of him. And I was like, I don't know. First of all, it's comedy, and he was crazy. That was part of the mystique of Harry. So I don't know. I'm just curious to see if that does come across. That may be the most fascinating part of the game. A hologram of Harry Carey? Yeah.
It might be. It could turn into a meme. I think there's meme potential here. I'm looking forward to the meme potential.
You know what I'm looking forward to? What's your pick of the week, by the way? Your points bet pick of the week. You got a little.
I won a parlay. I won my hit parlay finally. My hit parlays are 1-4. I'm 1-0. 1-0 in my last one hit parlays. Tonight we're doing another hit parlay, and I'm gonna talk about it on CHGO Bets Daily. But I'm gonna give you guys the early edition of it. That way you don't have to, you know, wait. All right. So tonight's hit parlay is, once I can log back into my account here. Sorry, I'm taking forever. Log in. Come on. Here we go.
In the meantime, by the way, Dave LaCroix is the writer of the movie, claimed Have a Catch is East Coast and Play Catch is West Coast. Well, what about the Midwest where the movie's actually filmed?
Yeah.
There? Yeah, I don't know.
And then it should, East Coast, it should be, wanna have a catch? Eh? Yeah.
Wanna have a catch,
Tommy?
They had Shoeless Joe batting righty in that movie, so they definitely took some liberties.
Also a good point.
The things.
All right, Cody. What's your pick of the week?
Tonight's pick for this week: 3-leg parlay. Jose Ramirez, Dansby Swanson, and Charlie Blackmon all to get a hit. Comes out to +160 when you use the boost option on PointsBet. It's really hard. Like, betting on one hit is there's no value, so that's why you make it a parlay. Three guys, they all have good numbers against
the
pitchers.
Who are the three again?
Jose Ramirez, Dansby Swanson, and Charlie Blackmon.
Dansby Swanson, possible future Cub.
Perhaps. Charlie Blackmon is hitting .615 against Jose Quintana as the Cardinals go back to Colorado tonight for the Nolan Arenado revenge game, I guess. But the Rockies put up like 15 runs last night. He's hitting .615 against Jose Quintana. I'm feeling like there's at least a hit in there.
Yeah, there's probably at least one, but you need three.
I need three.
One from each
Jose
guy.
Ramirez, Dansby Swanson, and Charlie Blackmon. +160. It's not great value, but when you do hit parlays, there aren't a lot of great value. But I'm just trying to win something with plus money, guys.
So, the big game is in the corn tomorrow. Ryan's going. You driving up there? You coming back the same night?
Yeah. Because I'm like, I've talked to people, and like some people got like hotel rooms in Galena or Rockford, as far out as Rockford. I'm like, if you get to Rockford, why not just make the rest of the trip home?
Yeah,
just go all the way home. So yeah, no, just getting there. Hopefully early afternoon. Just doing whatever needs to be done. And then hopefully getting back home before the sun rises tomorrow. But we'll see.
Are you going to get there early enough to try and walk through some of the corn and see this stuff, or are you just going to cover the game?
I mean, that would be awesome. The thing is, like, we're still trying to figure out timing of getting there, of, you know, when clubhouse opens, when all these different media things are going on. That'd be really cool to do. Go see the house, go walk through the corn. Like, if we have time to do that, I'd love to.
Yeah, I mean, if you wake up at 6 a.m. and you start heading to Iowa, you probably got time to go do a few things when you get there.
I hear I hear you're riding with our friend Kevin Wells as well.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Me and Kevin tripping together. So that was a weird way to say it. Me and Kevin Wells are tripping together.
What?
Tripping road together. Wow.
I know. I don't think that's legal yet.
Tripping. Wow.
Road tripping together.
You guys can each get a video of the other guy walking out of the corn.
Yeah, there you go.
We need, like Corey says, a video of Ryan emerging from the corn.
Yeah.
That would make fantastic.
We can turn that into a GIF, and we'll just use it every time, like, Ryan's about to drop the big scoop.
Yeah, and Frank Thomas, by the way, gave the big scoop that Kevin Costner will not be there, but also that they will not have a Field of Dreams game next year because they're going to start building a youth sports complex out there as well. Mm-hmm. Major League Baseball didn't want the conflict if there was stuff still going on. So next year, no Field of Dreams game. You're going to have to, if they're going to do it again, it would have to be another year in advance. So
saving the best
next
for great last,
Cubs team
I
could
guess.
Be there maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, perhaps.
Cubs White Sox showdown.
Oh.
2024 Field of Dreams.
Yeah. Carter Hawkins, he says, in Iowa, we say we play catch and drink Bush Light. That's so true.
Well, we wish you best of luck. It's a huge pitching showdown. Drew Smyly and Nick Lodolo.
Woo!
Can see why Major League Baseball is excited about this matchup.
Hey. Listen,
44 and a 45 win team going head-to-head.
I'm not trying to brag, but me and Luke might have the best content coming out tomorrow than what the game will actually be. So all I'm saying is you better be subscribed to CHGO Sports on YouTube and be following CHGO Cubs on Twitter.
Yeah, there's a reason I'm wearing shorts today.
Yeah.
Well, you hyped it up enough for me, Cody. You've hyped it up, so I'm expecting something big.
What'd you say?
We really hyped it, huh?
You hyped it up a lot just in that few seconds, so now I'm expecting something really big.
From what I'm hearing, it's great stuff.
From what I'm hearing, yeah.
Yeah, from what I'm hearing. The vibe.
It's a hot vibe.
It's skyrocketing up. Stock is high on the vibes of our Field of Dreams content coming out tomorrow.
All right. Cubs win. Take 2 out of 3 from the Nationals. Reds up next. Field of Dreams game. Ryan's going to be there. If you're going to the game in Iowa, make sure you find Ryan and say hi. Take a picture in the corn with him.
If you're wearing a CHGO Cubs shirt and you're going to Field of Dreams, take a picture and tweet it at us. Or
if you have some of the swag, wear the swag to the game, even if it's underneath that $300 jersey you're buying from the Cubs.
Yeah.
Break out the CHGO swag. Get a shot in the corn, and then tag us on Twitter and on Instagram and on the talk.
Yeah, on the talk, yes.
Okay?
What Stucky said, yes.
That's what I said. Mm-hmm. Thanks for checking out the CHGO Cubs post-game show podcast presented by PointsBet. Don't forget to use that promo code CHGO when you sign up. We will see you tomorrow pregame, postgame for the Field of Dreams game from Iowa. And now somebody's going to have to get me out of this sitting pose because I don't think I can move.
I'm going to help Luke get out of the seat. Don't worry.
Thank you, and good night.